Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A New Jersey high school board has now adopted a policy regarding so-called transgenderism. We're going to be talking about the implications of this policy on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Holly, this is a situation in what's called the Pascack Valley Regional High School School Board of Education. They have been considering and now just recently passed a policy that addresses so-called transgenderism. And this is essentially allowing boys and girls to come to the school and tell them that they want to be whatever gender they want to express themselves. And therefore, the school will use the personal pronouns accordingly and give them access to the restrooms and the locker rooms and the shower rooms of whatever gender they want to choose.
You know, Matt, I find this heartbreaking, actually. The school board, who is put in place to protect students, to help educate students appropriately, has now voted 6-1, that's an overwhelming vote, to put this transgender policy in place. And you have these students who are coming out and saying, you know, we don't hate gay people, we don't hate the other students that are transgender, but we don't feel comfortable. They had one eighth grade student said that she would not be comfortable with transgender students she considered to be boys in her locker room. She said, I'm not against the people who are transgender. I love them like Christ loves them. No one was born with the wrong body because he loves us and he created us.
Well, you know, that statement by this eighth grader is very true. No one is born with the wrong body. You are born either genetically and biologically male or female. In the very rare, it's less than a micro percent of situations, does someone have, instead of an XY and XX, they might have an XXY or an XYY chromosome. But it's a very rare situation. And if you have that in the rare situation, you still will be male or female. And if you have that, it automatically is an exclusion from the so-called transgenderism because there's a biological issue there. But it doesn't mean that you're not male or you're not female or that you're both. It just means that you have a chromosome, one more versus the other. So it is a very rare infinitesimal situation where you have that. People are born biologically male or female, and you cannot change your sex or your gender from male or female just because you want to do so and you think that you are a male that's actually inhabiting a female body, and therefore you want to express yourself as female. It is dangerous and it's wrong to promote that kind of ideology.
I think we've gone so far overboard in trying to protect those students and those people that are making this sexual preference choice. It's not something they're born with, but it's a choice. We're going so overboard in our society to protect them that we are putting others in harm's way. You had another student that said, you know, we all respect them. They are people just like us, but nobody here is comfortable having them in our locker rooms and our bathrooms. You know, it would frighten me to think that I would send my daughter to school and she would have to be in the same locker room with a boy.
Well, and the fact of the matter is that these are boys and these are girls. And now what this policy allows them to do is it allows a biological, physiological, anatomically created boy to enter into not only the restroom, but also into the locker room where their girls are dressing and undressing, and into the shower room where they're taking a shower and they're a complete stage of undress, and they're allowed to undress as well, even though they're anatomically and physiologically and biologically a boy. Now, you're not going to be able to know in their mind whether or not they think they're a girl or whether they just want to go in there and be a voyeur and watch these girls in a state of undress. Just by even asking the question, the school could be charged with discrimination. And in fact, it doesn't really matter whether they think in their mind one thing or not, because no matter what they think in their mind, they're still a boy, they're still a girl. 70-80% of boys or girls that in those early stages have more interest in being the opposite sex 70 to 80% of those feelings just simply dissipate without any psychological or other kind of intervention. It is something that happens. 70 to 80% just simply go away. For the school to create a policy to normalize that and frankly encourage that is dangerous because it affirms something that is not true. It affirms in their mind that they can actually be a girl, and in fact, it's not true. You can't be a girl, and in fact, even if you went to the next step of going through the hormone treatments and the plastic surgery, it is a very risky procedure that you have to deal with for the rest of your life.
And then speaking of risk, you're putting the other, you know, like the other females at risk. I know University of Toronto recently had put this policy in place, and now they have temporarily suspended it because two boys were caught videotaping girls in the shower. So it's like a no-brainer. They're still biologically boys, and they're still biologically girls, and they have these hormones, and you're putting these girls in danger.
Yeah, you're definitely putting the girls in danger. And we've been involved in this particular situation in Passaic, New Jersey, the high school there. We sent a letter to the school, first of all, telling them that there's no federal law that requires this. They said that there's this federal law called Title IX. Title IX is a federal funding law that deals with education. In fact, there's two actual cases that have been litigated already. Both of them have said Title IX does not require boys to use girls' restrooms or girls to use boys' facilities. Simply not true. Number two, it is common sense that boys should use boys' facilities. And number three, it literally puts these girls at risk. It frankly puts them at risk, not only for the invasion of their privacy, but for physical and sexual assault. These girls are at risk. How many parents really want a 16 or 17-year-old boy, because this is at the high school level, or an 18-year-old boy, to go into the girls' shower and locker room while they're in a state of undress? I mean, you can imagine the kinds of problems that that will ultimately create. And these girls that they are entrusted to protect, they've now opened up for potential sexual and physical assaults.
Right. They had one of the parents, stood up during this meeting at the school board, and she said, you know, we have nothing against transgender students, but questioned, you know, how many of you would allow your sons and daughters of the opposite sex to change in the same room? It's a no-brainer. So my question is, where do we go from here, Matt? You know, what do we do as parents and as residents when you see this happening?
Well, these particular policies are popping up all over the place now, and it's always been the agenda of the homosexual agenda to push the homosexual, gay, and lesbian rights, and then once that's established, to then bring out the more controversial, which is what we're now seeing, the transgender. And that goes all the way back to 1980. I think at this point in time, we have to push back both politically, like what happened in Houston, where the people got together and they put on the referendum to overturn that policy in Houston. That's one way. I think legally we have to push back as well, because there are state and federal laws that will protect these boys and girls from the privacy invasion, from the physical risk, and from having their own women's or girls' or boys' or men's restrooms and facilities. I mean, there are laws that protect them. And so we're going to be working with the school parents and some of their children to go to the next step with regards to both political pressure as well as legal intervention.
Yeah, because my concern, my question is, here they are 6-1 overwhelmingly voting this. Do parents no longer have a say in the raising of their children anymore? Does the church no longer have a say, or are we just not saying enough or loud enough?
Well, in that particular policy, it actually says that the boy or girl can choose their own gender and they'll use the pronouns accordingly, but they have to get a permission from their parent to do that. But if the parent objects, then they'll call them in and they may override the parent's objection. So they may call the boy a girl, even though the parent says, no, this is my son. My son is not a girl. Do not use personal pronouns that are feminine or treat this boy as a girl, allowing him to go into the girls' facilities. It's absolutely unbelievable. Let us know if you find out other kinds of policies like this happening around the country. I wish more states were common sense, like North Carolina. Common sense did prevail there. They're getting a lot of heat in North Carolina for passing a law that overturned a similar ordinance in Charlotte, North Carolina. These are common sense laws. Boys and girls are biologically different. They should not be using the same shower facilities, locker rooms, and you should not promote the idea, especially to young people of any age, but definitely young people, that they can just simply change their gender or sex like they change their clothes. It is a dangerous and wrong idea, and it's an ideology that needs to be opposed. Call Liberty Counsel. Continue to pray for the Ministry of Liberty Counsel and support us financially. Let us know what's going on in your community. Visit lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website is lc.org. Become an active partner with Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.